It's 12:36 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Phillips here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Coming up after the news at 1, we're going to talk to Jim Righeimer, the mayor of Costa Mesa, about that city, his city, going after motels that keep calling the cops every 20 minutes. You do not want to miss that. But right now, if you're a baseball fan, there have been a lot of contracts worth a lot of money that we've been talking about. Of course, here in Los Angeles, we have the huge $215 million deal that the Dodgers just signed with Clayton Kershaw, and that was on the front page of the paper when that deal went down. But we just saw another one that happened that causes your eyes to pop out of your head when you see the dollar signs and the amount of money that's being forked over to a player here. This time, it was the New York Yankees. They signed Masahiro Tanaka to a 7-year contract worth $155 million, and that equates to about $22.1 million a year. That's a lot of money. But according to ESPN, it's not worth as much as it sounds. Tanaka's contract is the largest ever for an international free agent and the fifth largest deal for a pitcher. But the $155 million deal seems like a lot of money. The reality is that Tanaka will lose almost $90 million over the 7-year lifespan of his contract with the Yankees. Why? Because of taxes. Had Tanaka chosen a similar contract with the Diamondbacks in Arizona or the Cubs in Illinois, he would have saved almost $12 million over the life of his contract. So you still pay the feds, but based on what state you live in, your tax rates are different. And in New York, it's very high. And it cost him $12 million. Joining us right now to talk about this is a gentleman by the name of Ryan Losey. He's a CPA and an executive VP of Pasic and Associates. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Afternoon. Pleasure to be here.
So he's going to get soaked.
Well, you know, the way the states are migrating to upper tax rates, it's taking a larger chunk out of people's overall income, and in particular their wage income. It used to be the federal was high and the states were nominal, but what you've seen over the years is the state sales revenue decrease because of less consumption, or property tax values go down, so localities collect less tax revenue. So this is a source that they can go after, and for the most part, people don't complain if you try to stick it to those who happen to be more fortunate. And that's why you see certainly coastal states, but a lot of states starting to migrate or increase either temporarily or certainly permanently their state income taxes.
Well, I'll tell you when this first popped up on my radar. It was during the whole Tiger Woods fiasco with his wife. And I was looking at the details and I was thinking, you know what? When she caught him that night and she hit him between the eyes with a 9-iron, that should have happened in Newport Beach and not Florida. But it happened in Florida because of tax reasons. He moved down there because he could save a bunch of money and not have to fork over millions of dollars to Sacramento. And a lot of golfers do the same. A lot of golfers are based out of Arizona or Florida. Are you seeing this trend now with basketball players or baseball players or football players, people outside the realm of golf, moving to these states or giving preferences to teams who reside in states that don't have high taxes?
Well, here's what I'll say. Income tax alone, or state income tax rates alone, or the lack of having an income tax in a state, by itself is not the sole or the primary driver. Is it something that helps them get over the 1-yard line to the end zone? Absolutely. When it comes down to contract negotiations and you're looking at what's the net benefit, it can certainly help. But you also have to factor in that a lot of these folks have their training camps or they practice off-season in these same sunny jurisdictions in the first place. So if they're going to be there from a standpoint of being able to stay in their peak shape or contract shape as a team contract provides for, then it may make sense from a lifestyle standpoint to be in an area that's warm all the time. And if it happens to not have an income tax in that state, well, then that's even better. Keep in mind that golfers are taxed a little bit differently, or those who play for non-league-based associations or teams, or non-league-based athletes, they're taxed a little bit differently than your league-based players. So even though someone may not be may not be resident in California or resident in New York, if they play for a team, they're still going to have the majority of their practices and meetings, and in essence, days of allocating their total compensation to that jurisdiction. Whereas someone who plays in tournaments can maybe pick and choose where they want to play.
Right. I'm going to play in the Australian Open. I'm not going to play at Pebble Beach.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. We're talking to Ryan Losey, who's a CPA and Executive VP of Pasek & Associates. Let's say that you're consulting on a contract negotiation. And let's say you got a player like this guy, like Tanaka, who's talking to the New York Yankees, and they're talking about a $155 million deal. Do you go to the team and do you go to the general manager during the negotiations and you say, all right, if we agree that $155 million is the going rate and that's an accurate number, then you need to kick it up by $12 million so that way the taxes are taken care of, so that way I don't take less money here than I would get in Arizona?
Well, generally it's going to be the player agent who has the authority to actually bind, but what they're going to do is a lot of times they're going to, as you're heading into those negotiations and as they get a little bit more concrete what the numbers look like or draft agreements, then they'll reach out to tax guys like me or the financial advisors, start running some numbers and you know, comparing jurisdictions. And they may say, look, hey, if you can structure this contract so that it's a little bit on the higher end, you're in a high tax jurisdiction, so you get the deduction. So you have to look at it on the other side. So the team gets a deduction against business income, then if it's a 50% tax rate, right, they're not paying an additional $1 million. Their true cost to them is only an additional $500,000. So they're more likely in the high tax jurisdictions to move up because the net cost of that player is actually lower than in a low tax jurisdiction. So that's something that can certainly happen. The other things that we typically want to look at is deferring some of the contract payout, meaning you may have a contract value over 7 years, $155 million, but that doesn't mean that's when it's going to be paid out over those 7 years. You may want to stretch and defer some of it over a longer period of time so that when you go to another team or maybe you retire or maybe you get injured or whatever it may be, or you end up not getting a large contract on your second one, you're in a lower tax bracket. And then all of a sudden you have that deferred comp from the previous contract coming in and hitting at lower tax rates or in another jurisdiction because you went to a new team.
Right. Well, just to play cards face up here, I'm bitter about this one because he didn't end up with the Angels.
I'm sorry. I do want to point out that these numbers, they're a little inflated, though. I actually validated the numbers, but what ESPN did, and I think it's probably accurate just from a quick standpoint of doing a simple one- or two-page article, is they picked the highest tax rates of each one of the jurisdictions, federal, state, and local. And so, you know, New York has eight marginal tax rates at the state level. It has five at the city level. And then federal, we have seven tax rates. So really, these numbers are actually higher than what they would be because he would get the benefit of the lower tax brackets.
Well, that's good. We don't want him to end up on government cheese.
Absolutely. I would also point out a couple of things. There's deductions that athletes can get. And this is an area where when you have expertise in athlete taxation, you know what specific deductions the IRS and tax authorities allow that specifically are tied to helping them perform or meet the duties of the player contract that they sign. And the biggest one that was typically we see is the agent dues. MLB, there's no cap with the collective bargaining agreement, but it's somewhere usually between 3 and 5%. So he would have a $6 million deduction over a period of time as he paid those agent fees, in addition to things like his dues that he pays as part of the being a part of the union, his travel cost, you know, his equipment and things like that. Those are all going to be deductions against his salary, thus driving down these numbers.
Well, and athletes just have a bunch of bills like that that pop up that the rest of us don't have.
That's
correct. And it's also that, you know, there's a very high markup on drugs, which they have to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And then one thing, I think this is unique to New York, though, and I ran some numbers real quick, is because there's such a disparity between folks who are single versus those who are married, pretty much those who are single, they make over roughly $1 million. they all of a sudden are kicked into the highest New York state tax bracket of 8.82%.
Right, then they get the old Scrooge up. Hey, Ryan,
but
I'm late for my break.
If you're married, you have to make $20 million. So he would actually save $375,000 a year or $2.6 million over life of contract if he had a spouse.
Yeah, but how much does the divorce cost? That's a big number right there. Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Ryan Losey, CPA and Executive VP of Pasek & Associates. Appreciate your expertise. All right, it's time to take a look at the roads.